Last tape, we were talking about the question of depression. And if you'll recall some of the things that we said about depression on that tape, you'll remember that we were talking about the matter of self-discipline and scheduling as a very vital factor in combating depression or dealing with a person who has had that pattern in the past. Counselors will find that in many situations, not only in matters of depression, but also in other circumstances, that it is important to get people to recognize the need for self-discipline. God made a point of this when he talked about self-control as one of the marks of the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is not someone who creates lack of control of oneself, but rather the opposite. When the Spirit of God works within a man's life according to the Scriptures, it structures that life. He works in that life in such a way that that person's life becomes orderly. God is not a God of confusion or disorder. He is a God of order. He did not give us the Scriptures in order that we might move our own way in mystical directions, following some kind of mysterious feelings within. But he gave us the Scriptures just so we would have a guide that would keep us from following dangerous feelings that would lead to our destruction and the destruction of our relationships with others. So counselors will find that they will have to teach people how to plan and schedule their lives. I'd just like to say a word or two about that. God is a God of planning. And this should be pointed out to people who come for counseling. Our redemption in Christ was planned according to Ephesians 1:9. Before the foundation of the world, the Scriptures tell us, Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who was to be slain. God plans His work, and then He, in time, worked His plan. In Galatians 4:4, according to God's schedule, Christ came in the fullness of time. That is, when all the conditions were right, when they were ripe for His coming. He didn't come 1 second early, not a half a second late. He came in the fullness of time, just at the right time, right on schedule. Christ's death, as well as His coming, was predicted to the very half year, according to Daniel 9:26 and 27. When Jesus came, He was operating consciously on a scheduled program when He said words like, "My time is not yet at hand." In John 7:6, He gave evidence of that scheduled program. Christ speaks in John 12:27, in John 7:1, and many other places of my hour as not yet having come, or my hour is now at hand, or something of that sort, indicating that there were particular events to take place at particular times on a schedule of God. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and 7 and verse 11, Paul writes to brothers who were walking in a disorderly way. That word disorderly means without order, in disarray, without planning and structure and discipline in their lives. And in verse 12, he calls them to become orderly. He calls them out of that disorder into order. Now, these and many other verses in the Scriptures, these are just a few samplings to give some indication of how God looks upon life and how He looks upon our time and our scheduling. But these and many other such verses ought to make it very clear to counselors and to counselees who need to hear it that they just can't go along in life in some sort of disorderly way, expecting the winds and the waves to drive them in God's direction. Many people lead lives that are like that. They do not control time, control money, control the use of their gifts. They are controlled by other forces. They are out on the sea allowing the winds to blow them from whichever direction the wind may be blowing that day. That is not the way that God intended man to live in this life. He put man over the environment, not to be under it, controlled by it. He said, subdue. Bring it into your control. I think there was also the order for all of scientific inquiry and study that would lead to a proper kind of control for the glory of God. But certainly it applies to our individual relationship to the environment around us in a very powerful way. We are not under the circumstances. The circumstances ought to be brought under our control as Christians to the honor of God. Now, there are many people who budget their funds very closely, but who have never learned to budget the even more valuable, indeed priceless, commodity of time. And many of these people are in trouble precisely because of that fact. They nickel and dime their time away. It just slides through their hands and they can't tell you where it went to. A few minutes here just kind of wasted in front of television, and a couple hours there, someplace else, and the first thing you know, another week of their lives has gone by with nothing worthwhile accomplished for Jesus Christ or for others who need their effort. So, the road to efficiency, order, and flexibility comes through planning. Flexibility, you say? Yes, flexibility comes through planning. Flexibility. There is no flexibility in chaos. There's nothing to flex. That's exactly the point. People who are always screaming against order and always screaming against planning and always screaming against scheduling and always screaming against any kind of structure usually say, but it's so inflexible. Well, now, if it's inflexible, it's not good planning. I'm sure that there is such a thing as poor planning, which is inflexible. But our planning is for our benefit, not to master us, but to help us. Our planning is in order that we might take this time that God has given to us and use it as good stewards for His glory. And that's what we must show counselees who protest that, oh, that takes all the flexibility out. Indeed. Unless we have some plans, we are in chaos. We are rigidly in chaos. Let's just take an example. Here's the person, let's say, who, I'll take it from the point of view of a pastor who often has this kind of problem. Somebody says, will you go visit Mrs. So-and-so? He says, oh, yeah, I'll gladly go visit her. And somebody else says, well, won't you visit Mr. Jones, Mr. Smith, and Mr. Brown? He says, yeah, I'll visit them. And then 20 other people ask for 20 other things, and then he has all of his regular responsibilities on top of that, and so on and on and on, until he said yes to so many people and so many things that he begins to feel guilty under all this pressure, and it becomes more than he can do, and yet he wants to do them all, and he thinks he should do them all, but he doesn't know whether he has the time or doesn't have the time, and he hesitates to say no to people because he hasn't really planned his week in such a way that he knows where his time is or where it isn't, so he is inflexible, and he has to say yes, even though he feels guilty, and then he goes along and he doesn't do all the jobs, and he carries along on his back a sack full of burdens, of the unmade calls, the unmade responsibilities that he feels guilty about most of the time. There are a lot of other people who have this problem too, not just pastors. People who have to self-discipline their time. But if he rigidly creates flexibility for himself, then he can say yes and no without guilt. If he says, now wait a minute, I'm not going to let people take my time from me and tell me how to use it. My time is before God, something that I must use as a responsible agent before Him, And I'm going to use that time in a responsible way. And he lays out, this is something most people have never done, he lays out his week as a person would lay out his budget. And he tries prayerfully together with his wife, or she with him, or whoever the person is you're dealing with in counseling. They try honestly before God to find in the week all the things that they need to put into a week, and to remove from their week all the things that they think are unproductive and unpleasing to God. And then they try to assign a reasonable amount of time in proportion one thing to another during a week, and sketch out what they believe must be in every week, would be nice to be in every week, and how they ought to get it and how much time they ought to find in it. And then try to lay out a schedule that at least roughly approximates that. And build into that schedule fudge factors for the emergencies, fudge factors for God's providential changes, fudge factors for many things that they did not count upon that now come into the picture, and continue to revise the schedule as circumstances change. One kind of a schedule when you have three little ones that don't go to school, but a different kind of schedule when they start off the school. When circumstances change, schedules need to be revised. And if you continue to schedule that way, then when somebody comes along and says, well, can you do such and such and such and such a day? And you look at your schedule and you say, well, no, I really can't. You have no guilt about it. You might regret the fact that you can't do it, but you can't do it. Your priorities, your responsibilities are all there. And you know very plainly you can't do it. So you're flexible enough to say no without guilt. I had a real problem with this. I still have a tremendous challenge with this, but one of the biggest things that I ever learned to do was to leave my engagement book at home when I come to a place like this. Then instead of saying yes on the spur of the moment to all sorts of invitations and that kind of thing and regretting it later on, I simply say to people, drop me a letter and I'll let you know something about it. I don't have my engagement book with me. Of course, I didn't say that I didn't plan to have it with me, but I did. And so then I can, at home when the letter comes, lay it all out on the desk, pray about it, think about my priorities before God, and make a good decision that doesn't come out of some emotion or desire of the moment, but comes out of a whole planning process and procedure. Very vital for me to do that. I found that I could not do it any other way. And there was another problem I had in scheduling that I've begun to get some daylight on. And that was the problem of putting priorities in their proper order. And my wife is my first priority according to God's Word. My children are my second priority, and my work is my third priority. Of course, it's part of my work to be what I ought to be to my wife. And it's part of my work even as a minister to be what I ought to be to my wife, even beyond my responsibility as an individual to be what I ought to be to my wife. Because I have to be an example to the flock as a minister of a husband to a wife. Now, you can play that through a second time if that doesn't all come off on the first reading. But now here's the point. I used to find that I wanted to take time with the family and with my wife, but that other things were crowding out that time. And I haven't got this down to perfection, but one thing that has helped immensely is this. When I get a new planning book, and I get one every year, before I put anything else in that book, I take one of those yellow marking pencils and I go through it and I make yellow lines all through that book for the whole of that book in the year ahead as a marker for where I want to spend time with the family and in particular my wife. And then when other things come along later on after I've marked that whole book up from end to end, I turn to that page, and sure enough, there is a yellow marker for that evening. And I say to somebody, I'm sorry, I have an engagement for that evening. I do. I made it before God. It was an important engagement. Indeed, it was more important than others. And I'm not lying, I'm telling the truth. That's exactly how I view it, as an important engagement that was made and should be kept. But of course, if I have fudge factors built in, which I try to build in, it may be that there's an equally acceptable time. And because I have scheduled, then I know where my time blocks are and where my fudge factors are. And it's possible that I may be able to juggle things around a little bit. You see, you can't move anything if you don't have something to move. If you aren't planning, you can't be flexible. All I'm saying is that we need to learn how to plan ourselves, and then we can become good counselors of people who are caught in the same problem. And many, many, many people that you counsel are. Help them to schedule up their lives in the ways that they should be scheduled. In the Christian Counselor's Manual, we have a section on this. And in the starter packet, we have some materials that can be used to help people schedule their lives. There's a worksheet for scheduling. It has three columns that helps people to work out some of these problems. In one of the columns, it says things that have to be eliminated from my life that are unprofitable. In the next column, it talks about things that would be good and profitable to have in my life. But then in the third column, it says, take those things out of column two, which are items that are feasible, and put them down in order of priority. When you begin to operate in that fashion, you begin to see what you can, what you can't have in a given lifespan. And most people have never tried this and need to do it.